I have never been so scared in all my life. I had gotten up that morning with a pit in my stomach that was bigger than me. I began to see cars arrive at First Baptist Church in Horseheads, New York. And I thought to myself, they have come to get me. First Baptist Church, Horseheads, New York. That day I was to be ordained to the gospel ministry by First Baptist Church, Horseheads, New York. This church had sent out letters to a whole lot more people than I had wished. Plus that, the pastor of the church at that time, Dan Gillette, had just announced that he was leaving the church and he was moving on to Elkhart, Indiana. So people from across the state of New York and Pennsylvania decided that it was a good time to come to an ordination, and it was a good time to come and say farewell to the church. Plus that, this church put on a huge dinner afterwards to really put the bait down and draw them in. Most ordinations I had been to maybe had 15 or 20 people. That morning when I stood before First Baptist Church in the old building to be ordained to the gospel ministry, there were 250 people in attendance. All of them qualified to ask me any question they wanted to about the ministry. Now you know why I was scared to death. I had to answer for myself what I believed about the ministry, what I believed about the Bible, what I believed about the various doctrines. And I had to do it in such a way that I convinced all the preachers that were there that when I stood in the pulpit, I had at least a little bit of an idea what I was preaching about. It was the longest day I have ever lived. It started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and concluded at 5. And I think the only reason they quit at 5 is probably they got hungry, because they were so much enjoying themselves. My mother, who came for the ordination, couldn't stand it. Everybody asking all these questions and me on the bubble. She left with the excuse, I'm going to go take care of the baby. And I know that that day was hard for my wife as well, because I'm up here in the front swinging and answering all sorts of questions. But I remember a pastor stood to his feet and he said, David, step away from your notes for a moment and take your Bible with you. So I stood away from the pulpit and I took my Bible in my hand. And he said, sir, tell me what you believe about the book that you hold in your hand. Tell me what you believe about the book you hold in your hand. And I had the joy and the opportunity of that day of defending the Word of God and sharing with the people that were there that I believe that this is the Word of God, that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that it's God's Word, and in it are found the truths from God, and this is my authority for preaching. This is my authority for teaching. This is my authority for living, because I believe in the authority of the Word of God. When God says it, that settles it. They were pretty happy with that answer. And I was pretty happy to see them smiling because I was watching their body language. We talked about that in ABF this morning. I was watching their body language. Finally, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'll never forget that moment, they dismissed me. Then I knew they were going to talk about me. Wish I could have been in there. They talked for a little bit, and then they came back. And they announced to me and my wife that we had been officially, or they were recommending to the church, First Baptist Church, they were recommending to the church that you ordain me to the gospel ministry. And they had that certificate down in the front of the old building. It was on the communion table. It was a certificate of ordination. And all the pastors that were there lined up and signed that certificate, and the church voted to ordain me in the gospel ministry. I said when I first came here a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago now, this is the only church in the world that can defrock me, which means remove me from the ministry, defrock, take away my ordination. But I am eternally grateful that this church had that confidence in me to ordain me to the gospel ministry. Thus, this place will always be special to us because here's where it all began. And that was 50 years ago. And today I can declare to you the authority of the Word of God. It's still true today, no matter where God speaks in the pages of the Word of God, no matter what God says in the pages of the Word of God, it is the truth. And this morning, I want to talk to you about a subject that is very dear and near to my heart, because I believe that this is so foundational to our understanding of the Word of God that all of us must be absolutely crystal clear about it. When God says in the pages of the Word of God, Bereshith bara Elohim, Bereshith bara Elohim, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is exactly what he meant. And no matter the day in which we live, no matter what scientists say today, our faith is not in science. Our faith is in the pages of the Word of God and what God says. And I'm happy to tell you that all across the world today, there is a creation movement. And Diane and I had the joy of spurring that movement on from Answers in Genesis as I was the international director and taking that movement around the world. And I'm happy to tell you that there is a very strong movement among evangelical churches around the world who are endorsing, again, the authority of the Word of God and endorsing that God created the world in six real, genuine days. Just exactly the way he said that he did it. And there is no doubt about it. I'm happy to tell you that in Korea, they like to be called Korea, by the way, not South Korea, because they believe they're Koreans. So in the country of Korea, there is a massive movement, a ministry of over 1,000 people strong, who are part of the creation movement going out to the churches. Amongst them are 250 PhD scientists who are creationists. And they're going all throughout Korea preaching and teaching the truths of the Word of God that the Bible can be trusted. Now, when I was a young pastor, soon after I left here, the big thing in those days was what they called carbon dating method. The carbon dating method seemed to be that which was presented by scientists, the thing that would really cause problems to those of us who are creationists. Because according to them, this carbon dating method showed that the earth is very, very old and certainly not young. And it really tripped up a lot of people because it seemed reasonable, it seemed right, it seemed very scientific. And so many people were sucked into that really, really quick, believing that that's the cure-all, that's the answer, so we got to do something. So Christians around that time, and even a bit before that, came up with what they called the gap theory. And the gap theory was this period of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. What they were trying to do is come up with those millions of years, because carbon dating said the earth is millions of years, so therefore we've got to answer scientists. Took the total wrong approach, but we've got to answer scientists, so we've got to come up with millions of years someplace. Then all of a sudden, this brilliant guy came up with the fact that there is a difference, there is a space between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And into that space, we can dump the millions of years, and we've made everybody happy, and scientists are happy now, and we're happy, and boy, this is really great. But then, two authors, Morris and Whitcomb. Morris and Whitcomb came out with a book that changed the dynamics of the creation movement dramatically. Put a whole shift on. Even put a shift on at Baptist Bible Seminary in Johnson City, New York, where I was a student. Because at that time, the school was teaching gap theory. Because there really wasn't anything else. Morris and Whitcomb came out with their book, and if you've never read the book, you ought to, because it was the book that changed the way we look at creation today and the way we look at evolution and understand evolution. But here was the problem, folks. Years later now, the carbon dating method is no longer even used by scientists, except to gauge maybe 100 years or 200 years, and at best 1,000 years, certainly not billions of years. It is found, even by the scientists, to not be trustworthy. And yet here we were, running like crazy, trying to come up with some kind of an answer for scientists. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need an answer for scientists. We've got the authority of the Word of God. No matter what science says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that settles it. But people back then, many of them, forgot that. And rather than standing upon the Word of God, they tried to come up with some kind of an answer that would provide them a get out from under what the scientists of that day were teaching. So today I want to talk to you about why this is so important. Now, you're a well-taught congregation. Many of you have been to the Creation Museum. Many of you have studied creation and the book of Genesis many, many times. And I praise God for you. And today I want to talk about why it's so important, though. I'm going to assume that I'm talking to a group of creationists here today. So we're not going to be defending creationism as much as we're going to talk about the fact why it is so important and why this creation movement around the world is so dynamic. In the country of Japan, there is a dynamic creation movement taking place. In the country of Hungary, in the country of Peru, Diane and I had the joy at Answers in Genesis of training a young man and his wife from the country of Peru. After he got home, he called us and said, "I'm having the very first conference ever on creation. We're expecting about 60 or 70 people. Would you come and speak?" And I said, I'd love to come and speak. Now, I'm not a scientist, I'm a preacher, but I'll come and preach. Then he called back a little bit later on and said, we've had to change the conference. We got more than 60 that signed up, and we have a little over 100 now, so we've gone to a bigger conference room. Several months later, he calls back and said, we've had to change the conference room because now we have over 300 people signed up. By the time I got there, they had over 600 people who wanted to have answers from the book of Genesis. 600 Peruvian Christians and pastors from all over that country that really wanted to be taught the truths of the Word of God. This is the movement that we're seeing take place today all over the world, including the country of China, where I had the joy of being for 3 weeks and seeing their hunger for the truths of the Word of God. So we ask the question today then, why is this so important? And I'd like to share with you several reasons why it's so important that whenever you have a pastoral candidate and you're asking some questions, you make sure you understand what he believes about creation, right? You make sure you understand that he has a full understanding of what the Bible teaches about the creation of man and all the creation in the 6 days. God said, Bereshith bara Elohim. In the beginning, God. Now, come with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. You're familiar with it. It is the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, Genesis 1:1 is God introducing himself to us. He doesn't begin by saying, I'm God. I'm the one that lives up here in heaven. I'm the one that has all the mansions. I'm the one that never did have a beginning and never will have a end. He simply says, but God. That's our introduction to God. He introduces himself, and the first thing, after he introduces himself to us, the first thing that he wants us to know is that I am the Elohim. That is, I am the creator of all things. No matter where you stand, no matter what you look at, no matter what you see in this world of ours, or if you look up into the heavens, no matter what you see, I created. By divine fiat, I spoke, and the world and the universe came into existence. I am God, and I am the creator God, and everything that you see and know is from me. Now, if those are the first words that God wanted us to hear, because it's in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, those are the first words that God wanted us to hear and know, if this is the first fact that God wanted us to hear and know, then it must be important to God. Number one. The reason it's so important is because it's important to God. Because it was the very first thing he told us about himself. And as we read the days of creation, we read like words like, and God said, and God saw, and God moved, and God divided, and God called, and God made, and God spoke. He, the creator of all things, the very first words out of his mouth to man is, I am Elohim, the creator. And the New Testament verifies that. Over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, the Bible says very clearly, this God of Genesis chapter 1, Colossians 1, 16, for by him were all things created. For by him were all things created. So we have Old Testament and New Testament bearing testimony to the fact that God is the creator of all things. Now, if it's important to God, then it better be important to us. There's a famous preacher, I won't tell you his name. He's on the radio. I love to hear him. I love taking notes. He was written the letter and asked if he'd take a position on creation. And his answer, this is a fundamental evangelical preacher, he says, it's too divisive. I will not answer the question. Too divisive? I couldn't believe his response. There are Bible schools that teach that as well. And you think, come on, folks. This is so fundamental. This is so much of the beginning of God. Why is it controversial? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's important to God. Now, we're thankful that we worship one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we're thankful for this creator God. But man has come up with all sorts of other gods. But none of them are ever called the creator God. You know, in the country of Japan, they have more gods than there are people in the United States. I mean, you're going to pray one day? I mean, which one of those millions of gods that they have are you going to pray to? How thankful we are that we have the creator God. And this whole message of creation is important to God. And if it's important to God, it's important to me. That's what I declared in my ordination. That I believe the word of God to be the truth. And one of the reasons is because it's important to God. Now in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're told that because we are now Christians, we're to have an answer for every man of the faith that lies within us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart for Christ the Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for your hope. 1 Peter chapter 3. We as God's people then are to be able and willing to give an answer for the faith that lies within us. Now let's discount something right at the very beginning. Some people don't like to talk about it because they say, I'm not a scientist. Some people don't understand it. And because of the fact that they don't fully understand it, they're afraid of it. Let me tell you, you do not have to be a PhD to understand the Bible and to understand the Word of God and its declaration to us. You are totally capable of defending the Word of God. You are totally capable of defending the Word of God. And that's exactly what the Bible says we're to do. We're to understand the truths of the Word of God. One of the first questions you ask an evolutionist when he comes to you and begins spouting off his evolutionary stuff, just stop and ask him this question. And how do you know that? How do you know that? They're going to talk to you about billions and billions and billions of years ago. Second question is, were you there? How do you know that? And were you there? Their whole thesis is developed upon what man thinks might have been millions of years ago. I take my answers from somebody that was there. God himself, the creator. I don't take my answers from some man who has this idea that this world came into existence by accident. You just saw the human eye. Does that look like that was an accident? That if you just added enough time, maybe another billion years on top of it, that eventually if you rolled around enough, if you stood up enough, if you laid down enough, if you got tumbled over a few times, all of a sudden the eye would begin to function, and that just was a total accident? That's the silliest thing in the world. There's a designer there, ladies and gentlemen. That is a designed eye that God has given to us. And that is the God of the pages of the Word of God. There are so many things in the pages of history and in the pages of science, the pages of the Word of God that are so fascinating. If evolution is true, and I love this one, there has to be billions and billions of years. How many of you going to the ocean this year sometime have been to the ocean or going to the ocean? All right, a few of you have. When you go to the ocean, I want you to think about this. Every year, salt is added to the ocean. The ocean gets more and more and more salty over the years. If you would take what we know to be the addition of new salt to the sea every year and multiply it by the billions and billions of years that evolutionists say the world has to be. Now listen to this. You could walk to Italy. There would be so much salt in the sea after billions and billions of years. You could walk to Italy. Maybe that's where those ads from Fiat come from, you know, where the water, the little Fiats come up out of the water. Maybe they're driving here on salt. I'm not just sure. Did you know that the moon is moving further and further away from us? Just a tiny little bit every year, but it is moving further and further away from us. You take that movement of the moon away from us, even though it's very small every year, and you multiply it times the billions and millions of years that scientists need from creation, that would mean, as of today, the moon should have been touching the earth billions of years ago to be that far away now. And you realize the silliness of so many of the arguments, but you say, how can they believe this? Listen very carefully. Dr. Watson, who is a lead guy in the area of evolution, says, quote, "We don't believe that we can observe or support logically evolution. The only other option would be creation, and that's unthinkable." We don't really believe it. It's not demonstrable, and we don't understand it, but it has to be true because this can't be true. Now, does that sound like a scientist that's supposed to observe and collect all the data and understand science based upon all the data? And by the way, this God that we're talking about, he's not opposed to science. He created it. Geology, geography, all created by God. So he's not anti. Some people say you creationists are anti-science. No, we worship the God who created the whole thing in the first place. So we believe that this is such an important subject for Christians today that we need to resolve once again in our own hearts that it's important because it's important to God. It's important, secondly, that I've already referenced, and that is, it's important to the authority of the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 makes it very clear that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. 2 Timothy 3:16 makes it very clear. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Listen to me today. God is a truth teller. God is a truth teller, and he expects us as believers to believe him because he's the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. So we come to that place where, as a young guy just getting ordained to the gospel ministry, we must declare, I believe in the authority of the Word of God. We don't really fully understand what we hold in our hands there today, how precious this is. Diane and I were with the Makashi Indians in northern Brazil, right near the Guyana border. These are former headhunters, and the missionary aviation dropped us off there. We were stay there for several days amongst these headhunters. And I mentioned to you before, we were hoping they got over that bad habit. And we had the opportunity of preaching there several days. But they had just received, a few weeks before we got there, their first copy of the Word of God in the Makashi language. I wish you could have seen those people. When they would walk from their little grass huts to the church building, they would carry the Bible like this, because it was so very precious to them. They'd never seen it before. They'd never been able to read it. This was the first time ever that they had the Word of God in their own language. And they loved it. And then they'd get into church, and they'd begin what I call the unwrapping ceremony, because they'd find pieces of plastic, and they'd find old plastic bags, and they'd wrap their Bible so no animals and no insects could get into the Word of God, because this was so precious to them. And so they'd unwrap it, and then with such care they would open it, and they'd follow along as I read in English, and they were reading in their own language for the first time ever. It meant so much to them. And then when we pronounced the benediction on the service, the wrapping ceremony began again. And with such care, I mean, just like you'd put a diaper on a baby, they just took such care making sure that it got protected. And then they'd carry it back to their little grass hut, and it'd be put up on a very high shelf where nobody was going to mess with it until they wanted to read it the next time. We don't have that kind of respect or love because we've never been without it. We've always had it. We were born and the Bible was in our language. But I want you to listen to me. I mentioned last week there's 6,700 languages and only 400 of them have the whole Bible. That's a shame, isn't it? 6,700 languages in the world. Only 400 have complete Bibles. But the Word of God is so very precious. And we as believers understand that creation and creationism, as we know it and as it's taught in the Word of God, is important because the Word of God says so. And the Word of God is our authority for all faith and all practice. And God is a truth teller. This created man, then, was purposed by God to be able to read. God wants you to know how to read, by the way. Be able to read, and he gave us written text in various languages so that we then could read the truths of God. And as you read the truths of God, you read through the creation passage. And there's one creation passage that says simply this: and God created the stars. No biggie. God created the stars. And then he moves on from there and tells about all the other things that he created. Let's just suppose that God created 10,000 stars only to begin with. God created 10,000 stars every second. You with me? Created 10,000 stars every second. Every second that goes by, he's creating 10,000 brand new stars. 10,000, 10,000. How long would it take God to then create the stars that we observe in our sky? Only 30,000 years. 30,000 years. And the Bible simply says, and God, oh, by the way, he created the stars and threw them out into the universe. The farthest known star to man right now is a long ways away. And if we were to go to that farthest star that we know about, and there may be others there, And we were able to get on a really fast jet. And this fast jet was going to travel 183,000 miles per second. That's the speed of light. So here we are in our little plane. And we're going to travel from the farthest star, and we're coming to Horseheads. So we start our engines up, and we begin to travel 183,000 miles per second. Every second, 183,000, 183,000, 183,000. It would only take us 2 billion years to get here. Do you want to travel that far? You will. Because the Bible says that heaven's located above the stars of God. When the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be rise, we will be changed in a moment, and in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be taken home with the Lord to the heavens. Where God exists, where God lives, which the Bible says is above the stars of God. You want to know how fast you're going to travel? In a moment. And in the twinkling, I mean, you're really going to move. You are really going to move. That's why you need a new body. Because it's going to go so fast, you'd burn up in the process. Now, you see all these wonderful things in the world in which we live, and you say, how on earth can people not believe the truths of the Word of God? It makes so much more sense to believe creation than it does evolution. So much more sense. But the Bible says that in those last days, God will give people a strong delusion to believe a lie. Now, I'm not going to be able to go in further. Thankfully, I am coming back someday. I'll have to finish this. But in the pages of the Word of God, we are told that all the doctrines of the Bible are based upon creation. Tell me one doctrine that does not have its roots in creation. Soteriology. Well, man is lost and needs a savior. Genesis 3:15, God's the savior. You think about all the doctrines. Doctrine of soteriology. Salvation. Genesis 3:15. The doctrines of sin and death. All started in the creation. Christology. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. But God the Son is the creator. Eschatology, future events, all found and all anchored in creationism. Let me conclude by just giving you another evolutionist's thoughts. Evolution is unproved, as an evolutionist, and unprovable. Should have stopped there. But he didn't. It's unproved and unprovable. But we believe it because the only other alternative is special creation, and that's unthinkable. Unquote. Doesn't that sound really scientific to you? Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God makes it very, very clear. Every part of the Bible is important. Genesis is important. Exodus is important. Leviticus is important. All the way through to the pages of the book of the Revelation. This is the Word of God. Believe it and trust it. And I said to them, ladies and gentlemen of the Ordination Council, thank you so much for ordaining me, recommending to First Baptist Church that I be ordained to the gospel ministry. And I promise you that I will preach the Word of God. And I've tried to do it for 50 years. Thank you.